You know, finances are very important, and the Word of God has a lot to teach us regarding our responsibilities towards money. You know, it's interesting that the biggest killer cited in the 21st century has been cited as various stress-related issues, diseases. And the most common relates to financial stress and debt of one kind or another. Also, the number one issue in the divorce courts is cited as financial problems. So financial matters are very high in importance and really at the heart of family life. They're vitally important to us. And that's why the Bible says so much about principles regarding money. And if you, like me, have in the past or perhaps presently experienced financial difficulties, bills, and the struggle of debt, wouldn't you be delighted to hear that God wants to help you out? Wouldn't that be good news? Well, tithing is often taught as an essential part of God's financial plan for a believer's life. However, the problem is that some people think tithing no longer applies to New Testament believers. Well, in a very succinct way, I want to deal with this today. So there's bits that I'm not going to touch on. I'd like to say a lot more, but we've got to be brief. And this is a huge subject. We could spend a lot of time on it. So I'm going to basically give a synopsis for us to really lay hold of and understand the principles of. So we're talking about principles here. You know, God is a God of principles. God is a God of principles. And God sets things in motion via principles. What season are we in now? Spring. It's a principle. It's one of God's principles. It's a principle. If I were to drop this, which I'm not going to, but if I were to drop this, it would fall. Why would it fall to the ground? Because of gravity. It's a principle. One of God's principles. Now, God has set principles in place regarding finances. There's principles there. We're going to look and dissect what the Bible really says about it. Firstly, we need to understand that the Holy Bible needs to be understood with knowledge of the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The critics of tithing say, oh, well, you're quoting the Old Covenant. You're quoting, the Old Covenant, and you're the same person who told me that we're in the New Covenant and we shouldn't quote the Old Covenant. But when it comes to tithing, there you go, you're quoting the Old Covenant. You see, that's how the story goes. Familiar with everyone so far? Yep. What you have to do is you have to understand the dispensations of the Old and the New Testaments and not confuse the two. Because people confuse the two, there's a plethora of erroneous doctrines in the church today. But it's from within the New Testament that we find our governing doctrine as Christians. So the New Testament is very important. And we have to understand that what the New Testament is saying and then glean possibly shadows from the Old Testament that can at times give details. I mean, for example, Proverbs is part of the wisdom literature. Well, should we use Proverbs today? Of course we should. You know, should we use the Psalms today? Of course we should. We shouldn't quote them out of context, but we should use them and learn from them. Wisdom applies today. And those Psalms are of great comfort to us today. And some of the principles of the Old Testament are still principles that we can employ today. But what we need to fundamentally understand is that the Old Testament is written to Israel, the chosen people. God's chosen people, the Jews. But today, we, the Christians, the New Testament teaches, are the chosen people. So there's a difference. Old Testament, New Testament. Now, how do you learn from both and apply it correctly? Listen, if the old was good enough, Hebrews teaches us we wouldn't have needed the new. We have a new covenant, folks. And so it's from the new covenant that we must take our first authority and glean. So what I wanted to do very briefly here was to understand tithing. We need to obviously decide to accept what the Word of God says about the matter. I'm sure if I ask everyone here now, are you going to believe what the Word of God says about tithing? Everyone will say yes. Belief, let me remind you, isn't about an intellectual assent. It's not saying, yes, I believe in my mind. Listen, the demons believe in Jesus and they shudder. Belief, necessity, real belief in the biblical context of that word means to follow in the way that we're using it. So it means that, yes, you understand it and you do it as a consequence. Okay? So belief in Jesus as Savior necessitates that, yes, we understand that the intellectual stuff about the cross, about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But not only do we understand it, we follow him as a result. That's what belief is. It's the following that follows the intellectual understanding. Am I making sense? Okay, so when it comes to tithing, to believe in tithing, there must follow the intellectual understanding and action, okay? So if we're saying that we're going to believe whatever the Bible teaches us, then we must recognize that this should shape our behavior. Now then, before the Mosaic law, what does the Bible teach us? Very interesting that Abel, the first fruits were offered by Abel, Genesis 4:4. Now, Abel, the word can be broken up into two. We have Ab, which means father. We have El, which means God. So Abel means God is my father, or my father is God. And Abel brought the firstlings, notice it was plural, of his flock. Genesis 4:4 reads, and Abel, he also brought out of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And in Hebrews 11:4, he's also mentioned, and it says there, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. This sacrifice that Abel brought involved blood. It involved blood, animal blood. Life was given, and it's that life that was given that made the sacrifice acceptable to God. Our sacrifice is life given. It's life given in the form of time. It's life given in the form of our money, which we receive through our work and our time spent in work, or our time spent receiving the benefits of the work that we've done. So we have Abel there. Let's go to Abraham. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek. Now notice this is before the Mosaic covenant. This is before the old covenant. Abraham gave a tithe to Melchizedek, priest of the Most High God in Genesis 14:20. And after he gave the tithe, God said in Genesis 15:1, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And in Genesis 22:17 and 18, God says, I will bless thy seed, and through this seed all nations shall be blessed. Notice it says all nations shall be blessed. Not just the Jewish nation, but all nations shall be blessed. Then we go to Jacob. Let's go to Jacob. Jacob covenanted with God. In other words, he vowed a vow to give tithe. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I may come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. And the place Jacob covenanted to give tithes is called Bethel. Anyone know what Bethel means? House of God. House of God. So the tithes are given in the place that is called the house of God. Everyone understanding things so far? It's simple, isn't it? All simple stuff. Do we all know it thoroughly? You know, I think so often people have heard sermons about tithing and really not located it clearly in their thinking. This is why there's a lot of questions in the church regarding tithing. But for us as a church, it's important to get this in place, because the foundations of a church must be rock solid. They must be solid. You can't build on anything that's not solid. And if you want to build high, you better have a good, strong foundation. So we need a good foundation. So this is why we're going through these things now. We're going to understand clearly what the scriptures teach. So then, let's go now to tithing in the Old Covenant. Tithing under the Mosaic Law. The most popular Old Testament scripture on tithing probably is from the book of Malachi. Malachi 3. Verses 10 and 11, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. The context of the passage pertained to the Israelites who were not bringing their offerings into the temple. Therefore, because of their disobedience, God judged them with a limited harvest. So he's trying to teach them that if you want more, then you need to sow more. And the first tithe that we trace back to Abraham, is the sacred tithe, you could call it. It's the tithe that ended up being given to the Levites and priests for their service to the temple and the congregation in the Old Testament. This is the tithe that we should continue to give under the priesthood now of Melchizedek in the New Covenant. We're going to read a little bit about that. But that's the tithe that still continues. The second tithe that was in the Old Testament, because the Jews, you know, had basically three tithes. They had two tithes annually, and then there was another tithe every 3 years. And that tithe every 3 years, you equate it all to 23%. So really, the Jewish tithe is 23%. The first tithe was the tithe that they traced back to Abraham. The second tithe, described in Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 27, was the tithe for the feasts. And it was dedicated to the good of mankind themselves. So, for example, it was used during feasts or holy days and specifically used with a religious purpose. So, for example, in today's context, if you're going to a Christian convention, that's the tie that's used. If there's some other Christian event that's taking place, that's the tie that's used. Okay, in the Old Testament, if you brought that through, that would be the second 10% that they paid. So they took, again, it was a principle. They took the tithing as a principle for purposes. They knew that there was things coming up. They knew that they had to do things. They got themselves under this tithing system by God, and this was the means by which they were able to live their lives and do everything that they were called to do. Now, the third tithe that was offered every 3 years was a tithe for the poor, Deuteronomy 14, 28 and 29. This tithe was given, as I say, every third year. So it's a little bit more than 23%. It works out to annually. So now two of these methods of tithing came into existence under the law, and they're the ones that ceased at the cross. That tithing stopped at Jesus at the cross. Okay? Didn't apply any longer because we now entered the new covenant. The tithe that didn't come into being under the law, but was utilized by God during the law era to sustain the priesthood, continues on in the New Testament for the work of the church as detailed in the New Testament. That's the bit that isn't preached, folks. It's not taught. It's not taught. I don't know why. Maybe his people haven't studied it. Maybe I don't understand why. It's simple. It should be taught. But I haven't heard it taught that often. But when it's taught, it clarifies things. Makes things so clear. So the tithe that wasn't initiated under the Mosaic covenant, but was initiated with Abraham, the principle of tithing, that's the tithe that continues through. The tithe that's offered to Melchizedek. So tithing under the New Testament, and we're going to see about Melchizedek in the New Testament. But tithing in the New Testament, very often Christians don't think that there's any New Testament basis for tithing. They just associate it with Mosaic law. Many Christians don't go back to even Abraham. They have failed to understand that tithing is about our obedience and faith. And it predated Mosaic law. Christian tithing goes back to faith, as we see in the life of Abraham, Jacob, and Abel. Let me tell you this. Someone who's a tither, God has called us to be people of faith. Tithing proves if you're faithful or not. If you're someone who's trying to work a way out of tithing, you're someone of very limited faith. And in fact, a faithlessness. You exhibit a faithlessness. If you're someone who's trying to wangle, how can I get around this now? This isn't, let me just sort of, let me see. Well, it's faithlessness. God is saying, listen, I will do more than you can probably think or imagine. One of the ways I want to bless you is by you, first of all, doing something. God is a God of principles. We're in spring. And in spring, things are sown. Are things sown in spring? And what happens to those things that are sown? There's a harvest that comes later on in the year. And that harvest comes, why? It's a principle. There's a principle in it. The principle of sowing and then harvest. But you know what, when you really break it down, and let's get really real about the whole thing. when you give money, that really does speak of faith. What I found is this: as you give money, your confidence in God grows. If someone doesn't have much confidence in God, they're not really sure if they should give. They're trying to work their way. Oh, well, if I give this, maybe I could give, you know, maybe I should. And let me warn you, here's one thing. People say, well, I'm not sure about where the church is spending the money. You know, I'm just not sure. I think I'll decide where I'm going to give the money. Oh, no, 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 no. Listen, that is a very simple, straightforward path of rebellion. Don't go down that path. It's a path of total rebellion. No. The tithe is simple. It can be seen in explicitly in the Old Testament. It can be seen in the New Testament. It's given to God's house. His house is the place where the tithe should be received. It's not some emotional appeal of a charity on the television, thinking, oh, those, they'll do with it. No, that's charity. It's not the tithe. You can give to appeals, but not before the tithe. The tithe should be the first thing, and then gifts come after the tithe. Very important that we understand this. This has been very important in my life, and the people that I know who are, you know, there's some very wealthy people. They're all tithers. I know some very poor people. I'm always trying to convince them that tithing is a good thing. They just never make that leap. They just, you know, it's a lack of faith, really. When you break it down, I'd like to be generous and say, make some excuse up. It's a lack of faith. You know, sometimes the people with the least amount of money really, really covet money. You don't need to be wealthy to covet money. You can have very little money and be coveting money. So, you know, and that's why people don't give, of course, because they're coveting, you know, they think that they can hold on. It's a terrible trap. The love of money, Jesus says, is the root of all evil. One of the things that you do when you tithe is you break mammon. You break the power of mammon. That's one of the blessings of tithing. When you give something, you break its power. It doesn't hold you then. And also you have confidence. You go to God and say, Lord. And I tell you what, a prayer of confidence now that you know you're doing things God's way, very powerful. Are we making sense so far?
Yes.
Good. So let's go on here, look, and say this. Jesus clearly teaches about tithing. Jesus taught tithing not by law, but by faith. That's explicitly Jesus' teaching on tithing. Let me ask you to turn with me to Matthew 23:23. Jesus initiates the new covenant, and he says in Matthew 23:23, he's teaching to the scribes, the Pharisees. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice he calls them hypocrites, which means an actor on a stage. In other words, they're acting. They're just going through the outside movements of being something, but they're not really that which they're pretending to be. He says, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of law, justice, and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. In other words, he's saying, yes, you should have tithed. Absolutely, you should have. But don't think that your tithing means that now you're okay. No, 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 no. Your tithing is part of your life, but you also need to pay attention to those other things. You see? But he's explicitly saying there, these you ought to have done. These you ought to have done. I mean, how clear is it that Jesus is for tithing? It doesn't say anywhere in the New Testament anything then to negate tithing by Jesus. These words that show that Jesus approved and taught that you should tithe. There's no way in the New Testament that teaches that now this has been passed. This is no longer the teaching. Nowhere does it say that. So my question is this. If Jesus, our Lord, who we are following, clearly teaches that tithing is from him, we ought to be tithing. Does Jesus, the one who we follow, teach that tithing should be made? Explicitly, yes. And Jesus also taught in Mark 12:17, and Jesus answering said unto them, render that which is of Caesar unto Caesar, and that which is of God unto God. And they marveled at this. In other words, he was saying, yes, you do the one and do the other. Now look, when it comes to this, people have said, well, look, what do you do? Do you tithe off the top or do you tithe off the bottom? Do you tithe off the gross or the net? Well, let me explain. It all depends what you mean by gross and net. Jesus gives us a very interesting clue. Notice he says, render that which is of Caesar unto Caesar. What happens to your wage packet? Does tax come off it? Tax goes to the government. Render to Caesar that which is of Caesar, and that which is of God, and to God. Now, how much are they going to take? Are they going to take 40%? Are they going to take 22%? Are they going to take some other percentage? What are they going to take? Well, this is how I understand it. The tithe is of what you have received. It's the gross of what you have received. Now, I understand this because I have to speak, for example, to business people who might receive, let's say, £10,000 a month in, for example, and £9,000 is going out. Now, if they tithe off the £10,000, the £1,000 that was their net is a tithe. So if they've had to pay various things, or bigger businesses that are £100,000, sometimes £100,000 a month, and then the net is £5,000, they're left with £5,000 after everything's paid. Well, if they tithe on the £10,000, they'll be owing the bank £5,000. So the way that I see this is what you have received. That was the principle in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament principle was, you know, the harvest of crops, animals. And if you lived a long way away, you would convert it into cash and you would take the cash with you. But it was, in fact, the crops and the animals. So, in other words, it was that which you had physically received. Now, we're in a system that basically forces the money out before you've not received it. It's a taxation system. Most people are in that. And so you've not really received that money. That money is rendered to Caesar and to Caesar's. And if people were paying the top line after years of counseling people in this, it becomes very difficult for many people if they're tithing off that. Then sometimes they would have minus money. So what I say is, it's that the tithe is of what you've received. So in other words, it's after Caesar's received his. Now, personally, I'll just give you a personal testimony. I say that to people sort of as a concession, understanding and having sort of worked through the pastoral issues with lots of people and realizing that, look, you know, the way things work out. But my personal opinion is give as much as you can. I believe that the tithe is from what you've received, but then give on top. And that's the way I see the teaching in the Old Testament and the application from the New. It's about the goods that you've received. So, Jesus acknowledged the tax system of Roman rule. Now, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we have these words. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him in store, as God has prospered him, that there may be no gatherings when I come. Notice Paul says, as God has prospered him. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, he was talking about the people who didn't have much money in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem had been under persecution. Many people had been in jail. Many people hadn't got work. And initially there was great collections for the churches in Jerusalem. Now those initial collections had been depleted. And so they were collecting money for those people in Jerusalem. So he gives this instruction to them as a special gift that they were going to take to them. But elsewhere in the scriptures, Paul teaches the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 9:14, the Lord has commanded those who preach the gospel that they should live from the gospel. And at another point, Paul mentions his own wages from the ministry. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, 7-11, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. So what Paul was saying was this, look, you know, we should be responsible. We should be responsible. You have a responsibility. Each one of us has a responsibility to give the tithes to God. There's really no other way around Christianity. I mean, this is part of the Christian gospel, I believe. And tithes of faith. You know, let's go to Hebrews. Let me share from Hebrews here. And we're going to connect this now with the new priesthood. The priesthood that's of Melchizedek. The priesthood of Melchizedek. Abraham in Genesis gives his tithes to Melchizedek. Come into the New Testament. We read in the book of Hebrews these words. Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 5. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. In other words, and it goes on to say, we don't have the time, but basically it says this, there is a new priesthood, it's by the order of Melchizedek, and that priesthood does receive tithes as the old priesthood, but it's the tithes of faith. It's the Abrahamic tithes. So this book of Hebrews clearly connects us to the book of Genesis. And the book of Hebrews is after the law. The book of Genesis is before the law. There's a complete connection there through the order of Melchizedek. The priesthood of the order of Melchizedek. In other words, Jesus Christ's priesthood. Now, if you've studied it as long as I have, and you've looked at it from all the angles I've looked at it, at that point you would be far more excited than you look right now. You would be very excited, because what it does is it proves absolutely that tithing is a New Testament concept. Absolutely proves it. Very clear. And that it's connected there into Genesis. So my conclusion is this. For us to build a church that's solid, a church that has a solid foundation. You know, you go to so many churches, you know, people waver. They don't know quite what they believe. What do you believe? You believe that? You think that? Do you? Yeah, okay, you believe that, yeah. Well, you know, they haven't studied it. They haven't taken time out to study it. They don't know what they're talking about. But now they're telling other, oh, you don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. I tell you what it is. It's that you could classify it in this way. If you wanted to be strong, you could say it's the spirit of Cain. Cain hated the tithe that was given by Abel. Or should I say the first offerings that were given by Abel. Hated it. And what the spirit of Cain will do is attack those who teach tithing. And it'll attack churches that offer tithes. It'll get people not to offer tithes. It'll do everything it can. It'll say, oh, you don't trust him, do you? You don't trust that preacher. You don't trust that preacher. That preacher's driving around in a Rolls Royce. It's an old classic and didn't cost very much. But, you know, they'll manipulate things. And they'll say all sorts of stuff. Praise be to God. I got myself a London property portfolio because I tithed. So I don't look to this church for too much. Amen? I can say that happily with joy. Because why? I followed what the Bible is teaching. I'm telling you, because I love you, I want the best for you. I don't need your money. Believe me. This church doesn't need your money. Believe me, God is the resource of this church. It's not reliant on anyone here. This church is reliant on God. This is God's church. The option of tithing is for your blessing. It's for your blessing. So say for example, we talk about the practical things. I mentioned exactly what I thought when it came to the 10%, because lots of people ask me about that. What exactly is that? Well, if you buy a house for £50,000, you sell that house for £100,000, but that house has cost you £10,000 in between. What's the gain? 40. What's the tithe? Simple. Amen? Simple. And you live like that, you'll see what God will do. God will do great things. You see, He wants you to be blessed. He wants your children blessed. He loves you so much. He wants us blessed. He wants this church to be a church where people are robust. You go into most churches, you say, what about tithing? Everyone's got a different opinion. You know, one believes this, one believes that. Who cares? Who knows? We don't know. Talk to the pastors. Who knows? I could be, maybe, who knows who's right? There's a mystery to us. If I've got a few coins left over at the end of the month, I'll throw them in. I'll give God a little tip. No. God's not interested in having a tip from anyone. Best keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself, honestly. No. Listen, let's get serious. Give God what's God, what's His. And then let's just see what God will do. And the reason why I want everyone to take this on board is this. Once you take it on board and someone asks you a question now, and they come up to you, so what do you think about tithing? You can tell them with confidence and strength what you believe and why you believe what you believe. See, because that's what we need. As the church grows people come in, people have all sorts of funny ideas. Well, I can't be taking everyone to the side and going through it all and explaining it all to everyone. It take ages. I've got, you know. But you can. You take it on board. You can teach that person. You can take it on board and teach this one. And then what happens is a robust church starts to develop. A church that's really strong, knows what it's believing the New Testament, got a solid foundation. And what happens is God chooses churches with solid foundations to build his church on. See, you've got to have a solid foundation. Now, if I've said anything, I've really summarized things this morning. Really been a very, very quick summary. So I might have said something that someone's misunderstood. Sometimes I listen to myself back. And I realize occasionally what I'm doing is I'm speaking slower than I'm thinking. So I don't quite say what I'm hoping to say. It's because I'm thinking. My mouth doesn't talk that quick. So I'm always trying to slow myself down and get as much detail in as I can. What I'll say is this. If you have any questions or any thoughts on it or anything that needs to be clarified, please just send me an email and I'll gladly, respond. And I can also continue to summarize these notes and make them available. We're going to have an opportunity to talk about this tonight as well. So I would invite everyone to be here this evening where we can share together and really go through some of the details possibly. And perhaps I can bring some more things in from the scriptures that we haven't had time to touch on this morning. In summary then, God is using finances to test your faith. It's a test of faith. Have you ever had to decide between paying a bill and tithing? I tell you the truth, I prefer to pay a tithe than eat my food. God took me to that place. I'm so glad he did. And I'm so glad for his grace that I made the right choice. It's a test. God is saying, do you really believe that I can take care of your bills? Or do you think that you have to take care of them? He says, look, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Tithing isn't given to that charity or donating to a friend or being generous in response to some needy cause. It's bringing one-tenth to the church. God is saying, I dare you. I dare you to see what I will do if you become a giving, generous tither. See what happens to your life. We really do find out where people are at when it comes to their wallets and purses. Let me invite you to stand with me, brothers and sisters. Our sister Shirley is going to come up. We're going to sing a very appropriate song this morning. I was once advised by someone. In fact, it was Pastor John Fiddy. He told me this is a joke. He likes to have these jokes, you know. And he said, have you ever considered doing the offering, singing I Surrender All? He said, it's very good. He said, it helps. He was saying it as a joke. But you know, the truth is that we should surrender all. We should surrender everything to him. And as we surrender this morning, we're saying to God, Lord, you take my life. Take everything, Lord. I want a robust faith. I want to build my life on a robust foundation. The foundation of the Word of God. Do you really believe God will take care of your bills? Yes, he will. He loves you. He loves you so much. And then you pray about your financial needs. Write them down and watch God to see what he does. Keeping a record is a good way to find out how God has provided. You look back over a couple of years and you'll see it was impossible, but God made a way. I didn't think we could ever do that. God has done it. God made a way. And you think, how did that? It doesn't make sense. And you realize, yes, I was tithing. I started tithing at that point. It was, oh, thank you, Lord. It was the right thing at the right time. Heavenly Father, Lord, It's not even so much about money. It's about our faith. And it shows itself through money. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. We humble ourselves before you, Father. And we say, Lord, we just want to serve you. We want our sacrificial lives to be in your service, Lord. All aspects of our life surrendered to you. That, Father God, your will manifest in and through us. That your will be done. That, Father, we'd be all that you've called us to be. Do all that you've called us to do. That the foundation of our life will be robust and strong. Oh, Father God, have your way. And Lord, if there's people in this place this morning that want to make such a big decision to say, from this day onwards, I'm going to be a tither. I will tithe. Father God, I thank you. If there's people in this place, I want to ask everyone to close their eyes. Please, no one looking around. Don't look around. But close your eyes. And if you want to say to God, you're responding to God this morning, you want to say, yes, from today now, I'm going to start tithing. I will be a tither from today. I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't been. I'm going to be from today. If that's you, you respond to God. You respond in prayer. Don't lift up your hands, because I don't know who gives what in this church, and I don't want to know. So I don't want to see hands now. But you respond to God now. You tell him now, and you remember what's happening this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you and honor you. And we ask that, Father God, our lives, as we give our lives to you in Bible study and in prayer, that you would shape our lives for us to do those works that you've called us to do and be the people that you've called us to be. Heavenly Father, have your way in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Praise be to your name.